Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Turn the Page. You're here with Stacy,
Evelyn,
and Nicola.
And we're here to discuss, she is a debut author with her book, Bond Talk, and she was just here at the library for an author visit, and we're here to talk more about her book and her writing life.
The book is called Montauk. Why Montauk?
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. Montauk started because I used to have a house out in Montauk, and back in, I think this is 2006 or 2007, we got a house and we bought it from someone who was a local lobster fisherman named Billy. And he and his family were moving out of the area. You know, Montauk property prices were going up, and so he moved his family down to Florida. And, you know, we'd go into town and we'd go to the, you know, fish market and the grocery store and the liquor store, and people would, we'd introduce ourselves as the newcomers, and they'd say, oh, I know you guys. He'd say, I know that house. You guys live in Billy's house. And, you know, everyone would go, they'd say, oh, yeah, you live in Billy's house. And for years, you know, we lived in Billy's house. So I just really liked that sense of, you know, community and a strong sense of loyalty. And that sort of sparked an idea in my mind.
But you took it back to 1938, not local, not current time.
Present time.
Yeah. So I just kind of was nostalgic for this fishing village and what it was like back then. You know, Montauk has changed so much over the years. I've seen a lot of the mom and pop shops, you know, leave town, and it's still just so beautiful and so fun to go out there. But I have seen it change a lot. So I wanted to go way back when it first started and imagine what it was like then and what it was like when people first started going out there to visit Montauk.
So when they first started having Montauk, was it just mostly they had like the locals who were there year round and then the rich summer people come in?
Yes. Yeah, so it, you know, was a really sleepy little fishing village, and really great for deep sea fishing because they had the access to the Atlantic right there. And so year round, for most of the year, it was those locals. And then this guy, Carl Fisher, Carl Fisher was like the most influential person in developing Montauk in the 20s and the 20s and 30s. And he originally developed Miami, and then he set his eyes on Montauk and turned it into this resort town. And so a lot of like the wealthy New Yorkers would start going out to Montauk and visiting.
It's definitely interesting because I'm, out of the two of us, Evelyn's read the book. I haven't. It's on my to-read list, and I'm on hold for the audio and the ebook, and I'll see if we have a physical copy here. But I like historical books, so that already got my attention for it. And I was like, yeah, whatever, Long Island. Like, that wasn't what drew me in, but I know it'll draw a lot of people. And we had a lot of patrons come in that remembered the time period. Some of them were alive then. And some of them like to go out and enjoy themselves. And I'm someone who's been to like Montauk once that I remember, went to Lighthouse, and I don't remember anything else. And I now want to go back there and see, like, I want to read the book and I want to go back. I'm like, what's still here? I really want to go to the Montauk Manor because it looks beautiful in photos. We'll see if I will afford a night there. But it just seems like really cool to maybe be like, oh, I'll live like, you know, the high life. Like what? Beatrice and Friends.
Yeah, and you make a lot of references to places. I've been out to Montauk quite often, and you make a lot of references to great places that are still out there, like Duryea's and Gurney's. And
yes.
Mentioned the surf club, which I'm sure it's a different surf club than it was back then.
Yeah.
White's Pharmacy,
the Yacht Club.
I stayed there quite often. Yep, it was great.
Yeah, so all of those places were around back then in the 30s. And
did the yachts actually come and stay at the Yacht Club?
Yeah, they actually built a whole extra area to make more space for the boats to come in.
Yeah.
So it is kind of cool that you can still go out to Montauk now and those places are still around and they still have this, you know, history to them. You just have to kind of know where to look.
Right. And how about telling a little bit about the book?
Yeah, so the book takes place in 1938, the summer of 1938, and it follows the story of Beatrice Bordeaux, who comes from a modest background, but she married a wealthy husband. And she stays at the Montauk Manor for the summer with the other high society wives when all the husbands go back and forth to the city during the week. And but instead of getting in with these fancy ladies, these high society women, like her husband wanted her to because it was going to help his business, further his like business interests. Instead of that, she finds herself drawn to the locals, the Montauk locals, and she kind of gets involved with and gets her, you know, it gets entwined in their lives, and then some complications unfold as the summer goes on.
Great relationships. Lots of good juicy stuff going on there.
Which is like, that makes me think of, because at first I was just thinking of like Beatrice Williams as a read-alike, because she does historical stuff and I feel like she focuses on like an area. But I'm just thinking, like, with talking about like the locals versus the people that come for summer or even just weekends, that makes me think of like Elin Hildebrand and Nantucket.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, oh, like, I wonder, like, because the relationships between those of the locals versus the rich.
Yeah.
But just even thinking of even in modern day novels that you have still people will go out for the summer, but those work and come back during the week, come back on the weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, I read that in books now and I'm like, that'd be nice. Like, yeah. I don't have that money, but that'd be interesting to be like, oh, okay.
Well, it's interesting to see people doing that now, because I see, you know, when school gets out, the moms and the kids, they go out to Montauk and or out to the Hamptons and they stay there. Mm-hmm. And it's, and you know, the husbands go back and forth. And it's, I just found it so interesting that they were doing that back in the 30s.
Yeah.
Well, they had escaped the hot city. There really wasn't air conditioning.
Right, no air conditioning.
There.
No.
You know, but hot, stinky. You know, like, get out of
the
city.
You want the fresh air. Right. You want the scenic view.
Yes. Yeah.
The ocean breeze and the sound of the ocean puts you to sleep. It's just so nice. It's a wonderful place to be.
Yeah.
It really is. And they all took the train. Very few people drove back in the day.
Yeah, they all took the train. That was kind of the way to get out there. And the guy, Carl Fisher, that I mentioned, who developed Miami and then Montauk, his whole PR campaign was Miami in the winter, Montauk in the summer. And
sounds good
to
me.
Yeah, right. And he had, you know, he had posters up all over town and on the trains and sort of telling people this is where you should be summering. And yeah, so it was a whole thing.
I'm like trying to imagine living that, because I also like the fashion of like, I should say, like, the higher society of that time. Like, I'm just going to, like, I'm thinking, like, Downton Abbey, which is not even that time. It's a bit earlier. But just, like, the different stuff that they wore. And, like, reading about you, like, you have a background in fashion.
Yeah.
That, did that appeal to you? And you're like, oh, like.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a fashion journalism background. I used to be a style writer for Forbes, and I used to have a column for Lucky. So, you know, any chance I get to write about fashion, especially, you know, in the 30s, or for my next book, I'm writing about the 20s. You know, that's really fun just to delve into that. It's a good excuse to do some research.
Did you do like a ton of research, or you knew like some of the stuff that you wrote about because you had a house there?
Yeah, I knew some of it, but I also did a pretty decent amount of research as well. You know, I started out at the Montauk Library, mm-hmm. just sort of poring over their local history books and just getting a sense of what was going on at that time and what it looked like, and you know, getting to know some of the local characters of the time. And then I did a tour of the lighthouse. The lighthouse is a big part of this book. So I did a tour of the lighthouse with a local historian.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And but one of the most fun parts of my research was I got put in touch with a couple who had lived in Montauk their whole entire lives, and I think they went to high school in East Hampton, and then they ended up getting married when they were 16 or 17, and so I spent the afternoon with them at their house. Actually, they live next, Julianne Moore has a house next door to them.
Oh, wow.
Very, you know, modest home. It's not some huge mansion, but he told me that. He's like, my next door neighbor is Julianne Moore. But it was really great spending the afternoon talking with them, because they told me about what it was like growing up there. And then he said he remembered what it was like when all the summer visitors started coming.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, they wanted, him and his friends would, you know, to make a few extra bucks here and there, they would go to the to sort of be the entertainment for the summer visitors. And they would do things like climb into a potato sack and then have their friend tie them up and throw them to the bottom of a swimming pool. And everyone would time how long it would take for them to rise to the top of the swimming pool, which sounds a little bit dangerous to me.
Yeah, I would think that. But I'm also trying to think how, like, did I get, yeah, they did have watches back then. So I'm like, how are you counting how long it takes? You don't have a stopwatch on your smartphone.
You also told us about the other episodes.
Oh, yeah, the greasy
other
pig
thing. Yeah, the greasy pig contest. They would put on these greasy pig contests. And so they would oil up a pig, and these young guys would just chase this pig around until someone caught it. And, you know, they'd get some prize money. And
But it probably helped with the economy out there, because during the summer, that's probably when everybody made their money, except for the fishermen, which was all year round.
Right, exactly.
So that really helped.
Definitely boosted that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
And I can imagine that it could somewhat have resentment of the locals versus the summer people.
Right.
But that's why, like, I think this book, it would be really good for book discussions, because you could talk about that. You could talk about, like, the time period. You could talk about the storm that happened. Like, there's so much you could talk about, especially the relationships between the main, the protagonist Beatrice and her husband, like, the friends that she makes. Like, she seems like a very interesting person. Because I kind of like that she seems, from what I've briefly read of the summaries and, like, one or two reviews, is that she kind of rebels against what they want her to do. And I'm like, oh, I like that. Like, you go, Beatrice.
Yeah.
Yep, she's strong. She's a strong woman.
She's strong by the end, for sure.
Yeah. She puts up with a lot of stuff.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to. No, not going to give it away, that's for sure.
Evelyn would like everyone to read this book so you find out everything that happens.
Yeah, lots of good stuff. Lots of juice. I enjoyed it. I like Dolly.
I love Dolly when I was writing.
So who's
going
to play Dolly in a movie? What do we think?
Oh, well, you know, we could. I like to play that game.
So Dolly would be who? So I think Reese Witherspoon would be a good Dolly.
Oh, I think Reese Witherspoon would be a great Dolly.
I'm not going to be good at this because I didn't read it. I'll just be like, maybe this Beatrice.
I envision Brie Larson playing Beatrice.
I like her.
Yes. Yeah, she's very good.
I like her a lot. And, Thomas. I like Chris Pine for Thomas.
Love Chris Pine.
Can you imagine
him? If it'd be a little bit rugged.
So good looking, Chris Pine.
That's why people call him Chris Fine.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. Chris Fine. And what about Harry? Lovely
well, Harry
man.
Needs to be a little bit more slick.
Yeah, he's not a nice guy.
No.
I'm not liking Harry too much.
I've forgotten the name of the guy who's married to Blake Lively.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, he could do that. Like, I'm used to him playing, like, the
goofy
kind of.
He usually plays a nice, good guy. But he could play kind of a bit of a bad guy.
Okay, we'll take that. If anyone's listening.
Is this being made into a movie? Is that an option?
Well, that would be nice. I do actually have a film agent. So I guess it's getting shopped around right now.
Oh, that's really cool.
So it's very exciting. I don't really know what that means.
Well, I hope if they do it, they film it out in Montauk. That would be very nice.
I hope so.
To be real, the actual
place. Well,
they'll
try to be as real as they can, but they'll probably film it on other places, especially Long Island, that will have scenic something. Because just, where was it? This is years ago when Gossip Girl was on TV. They would film, like, stuff in the Hamptons, but they were, like, filming at Roslyn. Like, depending on what, like, fits their idea of the picture.
Yes. And also, you know, budget and things
like
that.
Yeah, like, can you do
out
this?
There.
Yeah. But as the author, I feel like it should be all filmed and
right.
to keep it
of
true
course.
To the story.
Absolutely. And you've got to be on good. Set the whole time.
Be like, I need to see it.
A nice little condo to rent on the beach.
Would you write a screenplay for it or have, like, a screenwriter? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, screenwriter. Yeah, so I would like to take a stab at writing a screenplay of it.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I think usually they end up hiring an outside screenwriter, but, you know, you think about it, I know the characters best.
That's right.
Yeah, you created them. You
birthed these characters.
So I could at least give it a shot and see. I think that would be fun.
Sounds interesting.
So. That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
I would really love that.
Yeah. Any producers or film people, this is a good one. And so you're working on I was about to say new novel. It's not new. You're working on another novel.
Yes. Yes, I'm working on another novel in my second book. And this one is going to be set in the 20s. And it takes place in New York City and in the Adirondacks. And I'm having a lot of fun writing that one.
And you've stayed up in the Adirondacks?
Yeah, I've stayed there. I've actually gone out there a couple times for research.
Not bad.
And I've stayed at this place called White Pines Camp, which is right on the water. And the reason this that I became interested in this topic is I wrote an article for a travel magazine, I don't know, like a couple of years ago. And I learned about these great camps that they had up in the Adirondacks that like the Vanderbilts would have. And they called them like these rustic lodges. And then you go up and see them and they're not rustic at all. They're these huge compounds with you know, a boathouse and a bowling alley and you know, tennis courts, and they're just amazing places. And so that kind of piqued my interest. So I started, that's where
the fact
started.
That they're like, oh, we're just going up to the lodge. Yeah. Like, and then, no, so they'd go still a giant house.
Yeah.
Are your characters Vanderbilts? And
No, okay. They're fictional. Actually, one of them is a Ziegfeld girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a showgirl. So she's a lot of fun. She's very different from Beatrice.
Is it going to take place like over summer or like year round type
it's
thing?
It's going to take place over a couple different summers.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like this.
Yeah, because in the winter, that's not the place you want to be.
No, it's pretty cold.
No.
Yeah, unless you ski.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm not a person that does that. Not that I'm against it. I just don't know how to ski. But to think up there, because like mostly people don't go up there for, I mean, maybe fall at most. I'm like trying to think my like one side of my family, like their other side of the family, the ones that I'm not are actually related to, like they have like houses up there and they'll sometimes go like for a weekend and I'm like, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
You can invite me. but it's interesting to like be there. I remember going to camp upstate Pennsylvania-ish area, but that wasn't a fancy lodge. That was like, you know, you're in a bunk.
That is enjoy. True. But there are fancy camps up there, too.
They have all that. I mean, even now for adults, they have camps for adults. You could, you know, live back in the night or like the whole glamping of fancy camping.
Exactly.
And I'm like,
yeah, this is like, there's a touch of glamping in this new book.
Like, I could imagine with if they're going up to these, like, big areas without the Rockefeller Vanderbilts, like those type of houses with all that you can imagine.
Right, exactly.
It must have been, you know, a whole staff just living there to take care
of
them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And to be there when they're, you know, getting prepared for when they arrive.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have to go to the local Wegmans to do their food shopping over there.
No, but back in the day, like if you were wealthy, you had multiple
caretakers,
houses or
right?
something, you had caretakers to do this. Like, oh, like I've got to bring up Downton Abbey because that's the closest thing I could think of right now because I know I've been talking about it with my mom is that you know they have their country large estate Downton Abbey and then they go you know for the summer they'll summer in London at their apartment and they have staff and caretakers there and like some people are still back at the you know large estate and I'm like it's a lot of people to take care of
No, I love delving into that whole world of you know upstairs, downstairs type of thing. It's fun for me.
It's definitely interesting because you're like, wow, like just seeing like how some of them lived. I like that you get to see the sides from, I guess, like both sides of the staircase, the upstairs and downstairs, you know, the fabulously wealthy and then the people that worked for them and did all the hard work.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for the movie that it's unrelated to this book, but it just because the royal family is coming in the movie and it's like, oh no, now you've got the royal family staff taking over, like there's, you know, bad blood between that or whatnot. I don't even know because the movie's not out yet, but it just makes me kind of wonder, like, about even in Montauk or your next book, like, you know, there's tensions and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting to read.
So when you're writing the book, how many hours a day do you usually spend writing?
It depends. I you know, like, sometimes it's 3 hours, sometimes it's 6 hours. I have a workspace that I work out of called the writer's room, and it's a big loft space, all just desks, and it's all writers who go there to write, and it's totally silent.
Wow.
It's totally silent. So, you know, you hear people tapping away on their keyboards, but that's about it. And so I get so much more work done there than I do trying to work at home. But then again, I have a 5-month-old at home, so I have to escape the house to get my writing done.
Right, he doesn't understand what mommy does yet for him.
No.
And do you write full time?
I'm starting to write full time, yes. I also have a personal styling business, but I've hired some more stylists who are working with me on that so that I can spend more time writing, which is what I love to do.
Well, it's exciting.
Yeah.
We're excited to see what the future brings for it. And when you start writing a book, whether it's this one or the one that you're working on, do you go in knowing that like you also want it to be an audio book? Or that just is kind of like after everything's done?
Yeah, that's after everything's done. I didn't even, you know about that until I wrote the book and I sent it to the publisher and it went through its edits and then they said, oh, okay, and now they're going to, you know, turn it into an audiobook, and they had me go in and do like a Q&A mm-hmm. for the end of the audiobook.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was fun. But it's a trip. It's funny to hear somebody else, and the narrator did a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. Her name's Erin Bennett, and she reads a lot of like Elin Hildebrand's books.
Okay.
But it's still really weird to hear somebody else reading the characters' voices, and you know, it's great. It's wonderful, but it's strange at the same time. You know, those voices have been in my head.
I can only imagine, because like this is who you're envisioning, and maybe like you don't know if they're going to get like if they have an accent or something.
Right.
Like, oh no, that's their affectation.
Yeah.
It's like because you have, there's the cover of the book that you have, and then the advanced readers has the separate one.
Yeah, it's a different cover.
And it, like, the feeling that you'll get from it, you could also get, you know, a lot of people who are audiobook fans are like, no, the narrator brings, you know, emotion and feeling into it because they're narrating it. So it's,
yeah, I mean, they're essentially, you know, an actor or an actress.
Yeah.
So right. They really, this is what they do. They know how to do it well.
Well, I listened and I read, and she did a beautiful job.
Yeah.
It was really very good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
I have to say, I enjoyed it.
I agree.
Well, I'm on hold for both, so we'll see what I get first.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good.
And do you have any advice for aspiring writers?
I do, yes. I think what's been most helpful for me is having being part of a community of other writers. Mm-hmm. And I'm in a writing workshop. We meet once a week every Thursday.
Oh, wow.
There's about 7 of us. Mm-hmm. And we show up with 7 pages. And we just read, and it can, I mean, some of us are like, we've just finished this today. So it can be very,
oh,
very
wow.
raw and rough. And you just read it out loud, and they listen, and they just tell you, you know, their gut instinct about it. Like, it's working, it's not working, I like this, I don't like that. And it's just
very honest, huh?
And, yeah.
You know, we've been together for many years now, so now we're like, it's almost too honest. So, but it's fantastic. And just that accountability of knowing that, like, every Thursday I'm going to show up with these pages really, like, has kept me on track. So I think my advice for mm-hmm. a new writer is just find a group of people who are writing or want to write, and have a weekly deadline that you don't, you know, that you stick to.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
Anybody else have their books published in your group?
Yeah, so the person who leads the writing workshop, her name is Jennifer Bell. And so she has a bunch of women's fiction books, High Maintenance, Going Down, those books. And then the others are, they are, you know, on their way.
Okay, good.
There'll be some published authors
They
soon.
Must have been so proud of you when your book got
Yeah, it's fun. They've been
up.
Great. They've been coming to, you know, my book launch. And
oh, that's so nice.
Me, so that's nice. Yeah.
Have you been out to Montauk with the book?
I'm going on Friday.
Oh
wow.
Nice.
Yes, oh, fun.
Is there a bookstore out there now?
Yeah. You know, I think that the small bookstore that was out there, I think it closed.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I'm doing a reading at Bookhampton.
Oh, okay.
In East Hampton.
Very nice.
On Thursday, and then on Friday.
Oh, you should get a great turnout for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Then on Friday,
wish
I'll
I could go too.
And then on Friday, I'll be at the Montauk Library.
Oh, that's
oh,
so
well,
great.
That's
which would be
nice
cool, because that's
to
really where I did a lot of my initial research.
Oh, that's
yeah,
wonderful.
That'll be nice to connect with, like, the patrons and just be like, no, like, you guys helped me a lot.
Yes.
Because it's so authentic. It's so Montauk. So
it's Montauk.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
so
it'll be
great.
Fun.
Oh, that's cool. Are you reading anything that you're loving now?
I am. I'm actually I'm listening to Jamie Brenner's Drawing Home.
Oh.
It's a new book that just came out, and it's set in Sag Harbor.
Okay. Oh, nice.
So close
so, yeah, it's present yeah. day. Like, it's not historical fiction, but that's kind of
oh,
fun.
Oh, that's cool.
So
that's always fun. Right,
I've only been to Sag Harbor once, even though all the times I've been out there, we only went there once.
No, they have a cute town.
Yeah, it was very cute. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not on the ocean, though, right?
No.
Well, not on the ocean side, but that's on the sound.
Right.
Yeah.
It's on the
you
water.
Have that, and then there's like little ponds and whatnot you could go, because I used to go to a friend's family's house, and you'd have to beware of snapping turtles in the pond.
Right.
Didn't pay attention when I was younger. Now I'd be like, I'm not going in there. I don't need the animals attacking. But no, it's nice to do that, and like, that's exciting.
Yeah.
No, so I'll put that on my to-read list, too. My Goodreads list is growing.
So far, I'm enjoying that. I just read The Subway Girls by Susie Orman-Schnall.
Oh.
It's about the Miss Subways contest that took place in the 40s.
Oh, wow.
So that was a fun one.
I don't know anything about that.
I didn't know that even, like, occurred. Yeah. But that's really cool. Miss Subway.
Yeah. You've been living in Manhattan for a while now?
Yes, I've been living in Manhattan for a long time.
Okay.
Like, how many years? Maybe 20 years.
Oh wow. Okay. It's a long time.
No, less. Maybe more like 16. Yeah. Yeah, I love Manhattan. I mean, I feel like you can come to New York and become anything.
Right.
That's true.
It's so many possibilities.
But I like that, because especially for, like, living in the city like Manhattan, like, you could go upstate, you could go to Long Island, you could fly out and go somewhere. It's a good transportation hub.
You can go to Montauk.
Yeah. You could.
Great place to be, no doubt about it.
So this is definitely a good beach read. Not even just, I say that because it's June as we're talking, but I'd say just even a good read, not even for the beach. You could be on the train, plane, automobile, any of the above, because with the different formats, because there's, you know, reading it on a Kindle or listening to it, which is really cool that you have the availability in formats.
Yeah,
it's exciting. So we want to thank you for coming. It has been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. This has been fun.
Thank you.
So we're going to close the chapter of this
podcast.
And we'll
see you again.
Yeah, when your next book comes out.
Okay, that'd be great.
Your untitled project. But we're going to close the chapter. This is Stacy.
Evelyn.
Nicola Harrison.
And signing off.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.